chapter 5 and Titus chapter 3.
He's acting like his father.
He knows what's coming. Okay, Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and 2 Corinthians 5. Let's do the 2 Corinthians first. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Okay, the reconciling, you can see, is the main thrust of those verses, and that means to bring two parties together who were at odds with each other. But in verse 17 is what we're going to focus on, about a new creature, and all things are become new. Then try Titus chapter 3. Titus 3, verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Christ Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. At the end of verse 5, notice renewing of the Holy Ghost. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand what's going on in this book, and I pray you'd help us to use this day, new day, new month, new year, new week, to make a commitment to be faithful to you. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be true to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in 2 Corinthians, it says there's a new creature. And then in Titus, it talks about renewing. The basic thought is that if you get a brand new car, say a brand new one, you're going to like it at first. You're going to like it for a little while, but then you're going to get used to it. And so you got to somehow renew your desire there. And one way to do that for like a different car is if you just keep adding little doodads on it, I guess, a little something here that you change it here, make it fix there, something like that. But the idea here on this passage is when you're a born-again believer is a new creature in Jesus Christ. But then you have to get renewed, not your soul, but your life. And so basically, this today is a unique day in that it is you got a brand new day, you got a brand new week, you got a brand new month, and you got a brand new year. And every new day is like a resurrection. Now, you get up in the morning, most of you look half, we probably look half dead anyway when we get up in the morning, maybe three quarters dead. But that's like a resurrection. The idea is that maybe you bought something yesterday. Well, you got a new day today. Fresh, clean slate. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you bought some things last week. Maybe you didn't do some things you should have done last week. Maybe you did some things you shouldn't have done last week. Okay, now you got a brand new week right now. Start off right. Okay, what about this last year? Did you spend some time in the Word of God every day last year? Okay, determine to do that this year. And there are a lot of times people have New Year's resolutions, and these are good things to do. a New Year's resolution, it's like you make an official decree to yourself. You got to kind of talk to yourself sometime. I know talking to yourself to some people is a sign of being nuts, but talking to yourself in the Bible is a sign of fullness of the Spirit. You know, the tongues crowd says if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll speak in tongues. You filled with the Holy Ghost, you also will talk to yourself. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And the next verse says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So you got to quote the Bible to yourself. Okay, and there's something good about making an official decree. If you would, look in Psalms 112. You make a decision official. There's something good about that. There's something about, if you think about it, you know, as having a funeral service, it seems kind of strange to do those things sometimes because the person who has died, they don't hear anything. But it's like a closer. It's like an official time where you have a closing to this part that you're facing. And so there's something good about those things, making something official. And basically what you do is you make a decision and you cement that decision in your heart. Psalms 112, it says this in verse 5. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. You see, you get your heart fixed in something, trusting in the Lord. So there's something you got to trust in. And the idea is establish your heart. Next verse, his heart is established. He should not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. Now, if you make a New Year's resolution, tell it to your wife. She'll help you, encourage you with that, fulfilling that. Or maybe tell it to your husband. I have resolved not to spend much money. He'll rejoice in that. He'll make sure about that. There are some things. Start exercising. Resolve in your heart that you're going to do what God wants you to do. It's like an official decree because there's going to be times you're not going to want to do it. But if you say in your heart and you make this agreement with the Lord, and then if you have somebody else who holds you accountable about these things, that helps encourage you in the things of God. If you would, look in Philippians chapter 3. Maybe you failed some things yesterday. Maybe you botched it up yesterday. Well, you got a brand new day today. Maybe you really botched some things up. Maybe you didn't get some goals accomplished last year. You'd like to do something. Okay, then make an agreement with the Lord and determine in your heart you're going to do something. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If you resolve in your heart, okay, I'm going to pass out one gospel tract on the average per day. I'm going to pass out two per day. It don't seem like much, but by the time you get to the end of the year, if you pass out two per day, that means you've given the gospel literature to over 700 people. You see, a lot of those times those little things add up. You see, people are looking for the big things. And it's the little things that draw you away from God, and it's the little things that God is looking at. It's often a little thing that will stop your car from running. A little bit of gas in the tank. Forgot to bring the keys out. Isn't that a key is a little thing? Lock the keys in the car. See that little thing? It's little things often that get us in trouble. Solomon said, a very wise man said, it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. You see, about 10 little weeds in your garden, and forget them. Them little weeds grow big when they get later in the summer. Okay, and the idea is you got to renew these things. Now, as far as the world goes, look, if you would, in two places, Ecclesiastes 1, verse 9. God is the one, is the only one that can give you something that's brand new, or absolutely new, or it's going to renew you. The world, the newness of the world is just the same old, same old. They just repeat the same old trash over and over and over. We got a new beer. It's a new beer on the market. It's the same old piece of trash. You know, a new drug will give you a new buzz. Nothing new under the sun. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 9. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. You have a thing today called the New Age movement. New Age movement. That ain't new. That's been around since Genesis chapter 11. It's just repeating something, the same old thing, over and over and over. The New World Order. Oh, isn't that going to be a joy to have the New World Order come in play? That isn't new. That's back in Genesis chapter 11. Everything that the world is trying to promote today, you'll find it before Genesis chapter 12. Everything the world is promoting is back there in Genesis 4, 5, 6, 6 in particular. When you see all the stuff being promoted today on Hollywood, Genesis chapter 6, men and women, aliens and humans coming together, that's Genesis 6. That isn't new. The world does not give original thoughts. You know, liberals claim to be broad-minded and all that stuff. Liberals, all they do is they parrot somebody else that told them something. You see, and it's nothing new there. The world gives you nothing new. If you would look in Acts chapter 17, verse 21. You see, the world, as far as the world goes, they're just always trying to find something new. Acts 17, 21. This is called the news. What's new about the news? Nothing. This guy shot this guy. You see, this guy, he committed extortion with this guy, and this house burned down, and this building burned down. You know, and the news media tries to make a god out of this fella, and they try to make a devil out of this fella. The news media doesn't give you the news. They're trying to manipulate your thinking. But you see, they're always looking for something new. Acts 17, 21. And all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. I have a new Bible. You know, NIV, it's a new international version. It isn't new. It's the same as the American Standard Version. And then they have the new American Standard Version. That isn't new. That's the same as the Revised Standard Version. It's the same old, same old, same old repeat. And if you doubt that, lay them all side by side, all the new Bibles, and they'll make all the same changes. They all follow the same thing. As far as the world goes, the world and man in general, it's a law, it's a natural law, and it's the law of human collapse. If you leave man alone, if man is all by himself and God doesn't interfere with that man will mess it up royally. If God doesn't intervene in my life, I would have messed it up a long time ago. If God doesn't intervene as far as America goes, it's heading down the wrong path. It's going to be messed up, ruined, destroyed. Every nation does it. The law of human collapse is buildings falling apart. If you don't have an outside source somewhere to try to fix it up, it's going to fall apart. If your car, if you don't have an outside source that works on your car and keeps preventive maintenance, if that outside source doesn't take care of that car, it's going to fall apart. It's just a law of human collapse. And the same thing goes in your Christian life. If there is not an outside source who has eternal energy, eternal life, if that source doesn't interfere or intervene in your life, then you're just going to fall apart. That's just common sense. You see, the world and the United Nations and all this crowd, they're like in a big ship, and they're trying to tell you it's a new thing, but they're in this big ship, and it's got a big hole in it, and it is just leaking in like a sieve, and everybody inside there is trying to solve the world's problem, bail it all out, but nobody ever fixes the leak. That's the world's like. The Lord says, hey, you knucklehead, put the plug in. You see, the world is trying to have peace in the world without Jesus Christ. That's what they're trying to do. And the Lord says, if you plug me in, then I can give you peace. We're not going to give you world peace until I'm the king, but I can give you internal peace until then. And so the idea of an outside source, if you would look in Genesis chapter 7 or Genesis chapter 2, this is the creation of the first man, Adam. He was made out of the dust. Genesis chapter 7, that's where the common saying comes from, my name is mud. Genesis 2, verse 7, and it says, and the Lord God formed a man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Well, there he is. He's formed out of the dust of the ground. What if God didn't breathe into him? He wouldn't have got life. Life doesn't occur until God breathes into something. There's only one Bible in English that God has breathed his Spirit of God into it, and that's the King James Bible. It's got life. All the rest have death. This book right here, this book is perfect, and this is the one that God has breathed in. If you would look in John chapter 6, now the Lord sometimes is called the second Adam. The first Adam, he brought sin into the world and he brought death. The second Adam, well, he was sinless and flawless, and so he brought life. John chapter 6, verse 66. Now, this is the only 666 in the New Testament. This is the only chapter 6 with a verse 66. There is no chapter 66 with verse 6 in the New Testament. And this right here will happen to everyone in this room if there is not an outside source that will bring you close to Jesus Christ. John 6, verse 66, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. That would have happened to me a long time ago if an outside source did not affect my life to keep me drawn closer to Jesus Christ. I don't care how much character you have. I don't care how good you are, how much integrity you have. Those are all good things to have. But if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't intervene in your life, you and I would have walked away from him a long time ago. These people who believe they can lose their salvation in the New Testament, if I believe I can lose my salvation in the New Testament, I would have lost it a long time ago. You see, and it's God that takes care of these things. But then the Lord said to the fellows with them, John 6, verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. You can see his resolve there in verse 69. He has made a decision. I am absolutely sure that you are that Christ, not just any particular Christ, because there's all different kinds of them. But they're the same old, same old. The Antichrist will be nothing new. He'll be repeating just some other tyrant, who's another tyrant, who's another tyrant, who's another tyrant. They just keep repeating it over and over and over and over. But Simon Peter said, you are that Christ. You're the Christ of God. You're the real thing. People say, Coke's the real thing. Oh, it is not. It's good and it burns the acid off your battery. I mean, that's what Coke's good for. But all that other stuff, forget it. It's not the real thing. It's a fraud. It's a hoax. It'll put you in a grave quicker. But you see, as far as the real thing, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And Simon Peter said, you have the words of eternal life. Now, basically, there are five outside sources you and I need in order to continue living faithful. One is a Savior. If you would, back to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Now, have you ever trusted the Lord as your Savior? You ever witnessed to somebody and say, well, I've always been saved. Well, I've always, you know, known the Lord. Well, I got confirmed and all this stuff. And you can't pinpoint a point in their life where they trusted Christ. Well, I've already done that. I do that every day. I've heard that time and time again. When was there a time in your life where you became a new creature in Jesus Christ? Wasn't infant baptism. Certainly wasn't that. Can you put your finger on a time in your life where your conscience became so alert, where you began loving something that you used to hate, and now you hate something that you used to love? A new creature in Jesus Christ. At the moment you got born again, at the moment I got born again, my conscience, it was like somebody put a battery charger in my conscience and said, "Hey, pal, you have been messing up." And I found out Jesus Christ is my Savior. I trusted Him as my Savior, and boy, I got a new outlook on life. A new man came in my body. I have a new song in Jesus Christ, and you got a new hope going to heaven. And when you get to heaven, you're going to get a new heaven. This old one up there now, that thing's going to get blown up someday. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." Okay, when did that happen to you? Analyze yourself. Say, "Well, I've always been saved." Couldn't have been that way. You see, the first time you're born in the image of your parents, there's got to be a time where you're born in the image of God. And when you're born in the image of God, you get His nature. And that new nature, that new life, is going to give you a different outlook on life. You're going to look at the world differently. You're going to view things differently. There has to be something new there. Now, in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, even though the new man, he is renewed. 2 Corinthians 4:16, it says this, "For which cause we faint not. For though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed." See right inside that word, the word new? It's renewed day by day. Every day you got to get that renewal. Every single day. If you would look in Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4, verse 22. It says that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, it's always a pleasure if you get something new, a new device, or maybe a new computer, or maybe a new this, or a new car, or something new. And it's always kind of nice to get those things. Everybody enjoys those things. But it always wears off. Something's always wearing off. And I know salvation gets that way as far as our enjoyment of our salvation. Shouldn't be, but it does. That's the way we are. And so our Savior gives us a new life, a new conscience, a new outlook, a new creature in Christ. But you got to, in order to, that as far as the salvation goes, that is set, sealed, signed, and delivered. Once you get born again in God's kingdom, you will stay in God's kingdom. But what about your life after that? You need an outside force to come in and energize you. If you would, look in Proverbs chapter 8. Now, if your Bible was given vocal cords, and if your Bible could verbally speak to you, Proverbs 8 is what it would say. Proverbs chapter 8 personifies the Word of God. And verse 34, Proverbs 8, verse 34, here is the outside source that you and I need every single day to help encourage us in the things of God. Proverbs 8, 34, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." Verse 35, you want to get to favor of the Lord? You want to be the apple of God's eye? You want to become the teacher's pet? Teacher's the Spirit of God? Okay, then spend time in this book every day. In the New Testament, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved, a workman of God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You want to be approved of God? Spend some time in this book. Wait on God. Isaiah 40, verse 31 is a famous passage a lot of people have memorized. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew, brand new strength. You get strength spending time in the Word of God. Waiting on God. Now, I know we don't like to wait on God. Americans are so impatient. You got fast food, you got fast this and fast that and fast everything in America. You know, you get mad when your computer don't, you know, bring up some web page, you know, in 10 seconds. Oh, I got to wait 30 seconds. You know, and people are just so impatient in America. And you know what? You could deal with God like that, and God just say, you just sit there and wait, pal. I'm in charge. He's not in a hurry. And the thing is, the Lord make you and I just sit and wait and wait and wait and wait because he wants you to wait on him. And it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's get a brand new mind. Every single day, spending time in the Scriptures. You're depressed, you're discouraged, you're under a lot of stress, slow down and read your Bible. Get in it and spend some time in it. Well, I don't got time. You don't got time not to. Take the time. It's always amazing how I had guys in jail tell me they didn't have time to read their Bible. What are they doing? Oh, playing poker, playing checkers, playing chess, you know, goofing off. Anything but reading your Bible. America's problem is we got too many distractions. We got all these time-saving devices, but we don't got time to do anything. It's amazing. And the thing is, I know we all get caught up in it, but you got to renew your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, a guy can spend some time in the Word of God and it don't do any effect unless you have the teacher helping you with this book. J.W. spent time in the Bible. Mormons spend time in the Bible. Monks spend hours of times in the Bible. But they don't have the Spirit of God help them out, or they're not yielding to the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God, Psalms 51, verse 10 says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. There's spiritual warfare, dealing with our spirit, the Spirit of God. Ephesians 4, verse 23, we read that one already. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You can read the Bible intellectually. You can read the Bible of your own mindset. You can read the Bible logically. But if the Spirit of God is not taking those words right there and breathing into those words and giving them life to your life, you're not getting anywhere. John 4, 24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If you would look in Ezekiel chapter 37. This is a long passage we'd like to read through. Ezekiel 37. As we read down through this chapter, it's a very weird, very strange story. Ezekiel is out in this valley, and there's a bunch of bones out there. You know, a bunch of bones out there, and those bones all get together. You know, the knee bone gets connected to the leg bone, and, you know, and then the toe bone gets connected to the foot bone, and all that stuff gets together. But it doesn't have any life until something is outside forces breathed into it. Ezekiel 37, verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out into the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which is full of bones. and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Well, that's a good answer. I don't know, but you sure do. And he said, verse 4, and again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. There's something about preaching. You need to hear preaching. I mean, you ain't getting preaching on the TV. I mean, forget Jerry Falwell and all that crowd on the TV. You're not getting preaching on there. That's a sales pitch. You're not going to get it from Paul Crouch, Paul and whatever her name is, Crouch. That's a makeup business is what that is. Makeup business and a hairdo. Man, the hairdos they put on them shows is just amazing. You know, everybody's been trying to find Jimmy Hoffa. I know where he's at. Just pick that hairdo off. You can find him right underneath there. That's where Jimmy Hoffa's been all these years. I mean, that's a big joke, that stuff. That isn't preaching. You're not going to find some preaching in these things. They're just pulling people's legs. That's what PTL stands for. Pull the leg. Or pass the loot. Either way, that's what they're looking for. They say, well, we see you out there. They don't see you. They're looking at a camera. They got a bunch of lights coming in there, and they don't see you. They don't care about you. You don't know them, and they don't know you. That's why the Lord wants a local church where you go visibly and talk to the guy face to face and shake his hand and know how he lives throughout the week and know what they're up to. These guys on TV, you don't got a clue what these guys are up to. I wouldn't send them a penny. Don't waste any time with them. It's entertainment, that's all that it is. It's not a ministry. And you see, you need some preaching. There's something about preaching that just helps you. It helps me. Preaching upon, he says, prophesy unto these bones. Verse 5, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to this bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. See that? This is a book, and this book is God's book. But if you're not yielded to the Spirit of God, this book is a blind book to you. This is the only book in the world that when you read it, it reads you. And this book reads your heart. And if your heart don't care about the things of God, this book is not going to show you anything. And the author of this book, you need to yield to the author of this book and ask him to guide you. And when you read this book, you say, Spirit of God, author of this book, please show me something. I need something out of this book. And here in Ezekiel 37, verse 8, you've got the bones, you've got the flesh, you've got the skin, you got everything right there, but you don't got any life. And that's where the Spirit of God comes in play. Verse 9, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet and an exceeding great army. It's the Spirit of God that comes in. You see, it says in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1, it says, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. What's that mean? What's free course mean? Well, in admiralty law, free course is when you're out there sailing and a wind, you have a favorable wind, when the wind is pushing you towards your direction, that is called free course. And the idea is that when you're studying this Bible, mentally, intellectually, of your own mind, trying to figure this thing out logically, you pray to the author of this Bible, the wind, and you pray that the wind breathes through you, and he breathes to you towards the place God wants you to be. That's free course. You're praying to the Spirit of God. Now, the fourth outside source is when you pray to the Lord. Look, if you would, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Spend some time in prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing. Be careful, full of care. You worried about some things? See, you shouldn't worry about things you can change. Change it. You shouldn't worry about things you can't change. Don't worry about it. So that should take all your worries out. If it's something you can change, change it. If you can't change it, forget it. Give it to God. Be careful for nothing, full of care. And it said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Tell the Lord about it. He's not surprised. Now, the byproduct of that is if you obey verse 6, verse 7 is a byproduct. If you don't obey verse 6, you don't get verse 7. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It didn't say you had to pray for that. If you obey verse 6, verse 7 is automatic. Why? Because God knows what's going on. And everything that's happening in your life is exactly what God has planned. As far as if you're wrong, he's trying to get you right. And if you're right, he's trying to perfect you. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. He promised in Philippians 1:6, he said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And the thing is, just give it to the Lord. If you would, look in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Pray about these things. Pray and give it to God. How many minutes you got on your cell phone? How many minutes you pray to God? When you hit the throne of God and you hit the judgment, those records are going to come up. And those records are going to count the minutes of time you spent with God versus the minutes you time you spent on that phone. How much time you sitting there playing computer games? How much time you sitting there watching TV? I'm not saying it's wrong to do these things, but how much time are you putting on it? You say, well, I'm exercising. Yeah, them thumbs really get exercised, don't they? Back and forth, back and forth. Don't you realize the addiction that goes on with those computer stuff? Don't you know what those people put in the background of those things so they get you addicted to that stuff? And that takes you time away from Jesus Christ, takes you time away from God. And when you get on that cell phone, don't you realize that stuff is just being pumped around, all these voices are going around? I'm not saying it's wrong to have them, but how much time are you putting on them? The Lord's cell phone plan is not a monthly charge. You don't have to have any towers nearby. And it goes right to the throne of God. And he picks up the phone every time you call. His cell phone business much better. Spend some time in prayer. 1 Timothy 1 verse or 2 verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. See that? Intercede for somebody. Instead of going around and passing out the gossip to somebody about this person, why don't you pray for them? Instead of listening to the gossip, and when somebody starts telling you about something bad about somebody else, just say, wow, that's terrible. If that's true, let's pray for them. Stop and pray for them right at the time. Intercede for them. You know, instead of criticizing your family members, you know, what's true is true, but if it's true, pray for them. We need to pray for each other. Intercede for each other. Ask God to guide us in these things. You see, a daily time with God is like charging your battery. I don't care what device you have. If you have your cell phone, if you got the best battery in the market, you're going to have to plug it in sometime. It is going to wear out. And the same goes with every born-again believer. If you don't get plugged in with God every single day, you're going to get worn out. And you're going to quit. And you're going to, what happened to me? What happened? What happened? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. You failed in your daily time with your God. Spending every single day with your God. Your God wants you personally to talk to Him and pray with Him and read His Bible and spend some time with Him. And He says in Proverbs chapter 3, He says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That's your work all day long. Lord, help me lay this carpet right. Help me to do this right. Help me to hit the right nail, not my thumb. When I hit the wrong nail, help me to say ouch, and that's it. All that stuff. See, the Lord wants, you can save so much time. See, a lot of times what we do is we think, oh, it's going to take me so much time. Martin Luther used to say, I am so busy today, I have to pray an extra hour. Because the more time you spend with the Lord, the more He gets involved in your other activities and He helps you. He says you're going to run and not be weary. If you don't wait on the Lord, then you're going to walk and be weary. And you see, the thing is, the Lord wants to spend time with Him. You have a God in heaven that wants to be wanted. And He wants you to want Him. And He wants you to spend time with Him. If you and I don't have these outside sources, the Word of God, the Holy Ghost, and Jesus Christ, if we don't have these outside sources coming into our lives and affect us, we're going to quit. We're never going to make it. Thank God we're secure in Jesus Christ as far as salvation goes. But as far as everything else goes, we're going to be casualty of the war. Okay, we'll stop there and pray. Lord, I do pray You'd help us realize we have to have an outside source to help us to stay true to Thee. And You, our God, our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Lord, I do pray that You'd help us to spend time with You. Forget the middleman as far as human middlemen. The mediator is Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray You'd help us to come to Thee. Help us to spend every day. Help us resolve. Maybe some folks here have not read their Bible every day this week, this last month. Lord, I pray that they'd resolve in their heart, that they'd study and read the Bible every day. Spend time in prayer. Develop a prayer list. Put down prayer requests. And at the end of the year, see all the wonderful things that You've done for them. Well, heads bowed and eyes are closed. Has there ever been a time in your life where you became a new creature in Jesus Christ? Can you pinpoint it down where there was a moment in your life that you trusted Jesus Christ as your only hope for heaven? And after that moment, you realized that your conscience became alert and you began loving things that you used to hate and you hate things that you used to love. And you knew there was a change in your life, in your heart. If there's never been a time like that, please make that day to be today. Today is a day of salvation. Start the year off right by trusting Christ as your Savior. It'll be the best year you ever had. Spend some time with the Lord. The instruments play, the altar's open if you need it. There's something about using an altar. It's like a public thing. It's like an official decision, an official resolution. There's just something about it. Lord, I am going to do this by Your grace. Any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The newness of life is only found in Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, thank you for a blessed book you've given us. Thank you that we can renew our mind, renew our spirit, and live in newness of life, and it'd be fresh and new. And Lord, people just live in the same old, same old, same old boredom, same old doldrums that they're living through. Lord, it doesn't have to be that way. And I pray that our relationship with you is fresh and new every single day. Help us start this year off right by fixing in our heart that we're going to be faithful to you and spend time with you in prayer, spend time with you in the Word of God, yield to the Spirit of God, and ask for you to intercede in our lives and fellowship with you every day. In Jesus' name, amen.